Okay, for you first-timers, we've reached the part of our evening session where we have our evening message. And tonight's evening message, Piercing the Darkness, is going to be brought to us by our own Reverend John McConnell from Washington State. And John, are you ready?
Let me compose myself here. That's a hard one to follow. Just an aside, for those of us that have cell phones, please either turn them off or put them on silent. And I think everyone in the program would appreciate it, because we're not here. It's not about me. It's not about you. As Pastor Horn said this morning, it's about Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
If you came to hear a candy-coated sermon, you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
If you came to hear a feel-good sermon about how great I am, this and that and the other, you're in the wrong place. Because we're talking about tonight, Piercing the Darkness. And it's in Ephesians 6:10 through 13. That's the passage that I have been assigned. And I just wanted to say, Sister Renee, that was an excellent reading from that passage. I fortunately was able to catch that on the way in. So, again, thank you very much. And I know that we're going to be looking, to more great scripture readings, because the Bible is inspired, of course. Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. That was from the New American Standard. Let me give you another aside. I'm having I don't know how diplomatically to say this. I'm having a persistent burping problem. And if I pause, I'm trying to not let it come out. So I'm dealing with medical people to help me with it. So bear with me. Thank you. The thing about this is, I want to share something with you. From a book. The quote was this: "One by one, the obstacles are falling." Yes, yes. Your offering will bring you good fortune, and it will please me. The big, narrow eyes yellowed with a command, "Bring her." Upstairs, sitting between two guards with her feet and hands bound with manacles, Susan Jacobson waited and groaned, or prayed that all that was within her. She cried out to the one true God, the God whom she did not know but must be there to have heard her. He was the only one who could help her now. That is from Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness.
Yes.
In this book, the incidents are fictional. But are they in real life? We Christians are confronted daily, whether we know it or not, by Satan's minions.
Yes.
And the problem is that they try to easily trip us up. They try to make us stumble. But we cannot let them. The evil is real. The darkness is real. Whether you see it or not, physically, spiritually, it is real. How can we pierce this darkness? We can't do it in our own strength. This passage of Scripture should not and cannot be taken lightly. We must, and I'm talking to me too, we must depend upon the Lord. We must stand against the methods of the enemy. You notice that I read the passage and it said schemes. It's actually methods. We must never, never retreat. We need to depend upon the Lord. First of all, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." The New King James says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." If you go back to the Greek, it's "become strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength." Notice the emphasis? His strength. It involves, dependence involves trust. We must be strong in the Lord. And how do we do that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know you know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, exactly. And he will make your path straight or direct your paths. You know, when we were younger, we depended upon our parents and our friends to guide us places. Now, sometimes, if you had a feisty brother like mine, he guided me to the wrong places, like into the telephone booth and shut the door. But I got out, of course. But seriously, now it's needful to trust in the only one who guides us through or into piercing the darkness. That's the only person that we can trust. Yes, we have friends, we have church friends, we have family who can help us, but they can't get us through the spiritual darkness. God gets us through the spiritual darkness. His power and his might, they sustain us. You know, we have to be strong in the strength of his might. In Zechariah 4:6, we read, "So he answered and said unto me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." I like this kind of sermon. I like a response. I'm not begging for it. If you respond, hey, that works. But I'm not one of these guys that says, "Hey, can I have an amen?" I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. If the Lord has you do it, go for it. Go for it. Zechariah was seeing in a vision olive trees and lampstands, but he didn't know what they meant. He said, the angel said to him, "Do you know what it means?" He said, "No, I don't know." Zerubbabel was going to rebuild Jerusalem without obstacles. He would depend upon the Spirit of the Lord, not his own strength. "Oh, look how great a building I've done." That wasn't Zerubbabel at all. And that shouldn't be our goal either. "Look how great I am. Look how many titles I have. Look how well I dress. Now, underneath this sport coat that I have on and shirt and such, I'm me. I'm me with all my flaws and quirks, etc., etc." And you all can fill in the blanks on your for yourselves. I'm not the judge. But another scripture that the Lord brought to me was Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. If I may, I'd like to modernize this. Some boast in cell phones. Some boast in social media. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to be quickly adding, I don't have any problem with a cell phone. I happen to have a cell phone. I happen to have a Facebook account. But these tools can be used for witnessing to other people.
Amen.
You depend upon God, not the tools.
Right.
You depend upon God, not the works that are man-made. The works that are man-made are going to get us down. We don't look at the latest news item and give our opinion about it. I suppose you can if you want to. But the cell phone's not going to get you through eternity. Your Facebook isn't going to get you through eternity. Your Facebook didn't go to the cross and die for your sins. I could really get started. The Lord sustains us, not these man-made works. He did say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sometimes people, I'm digressing, but sometimes people like the lights of their TV more than getting alone with God. But that's another sermon. We need to stand against, my second point is we need to stand against the methods of the enemy. We need to put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil or methods. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. I'm going to break all that down or try to. Satan's methods divide. They divide. And we have to be able to stand against those. Let me give you an illustration. You know, we're not wrestling against each other, or we shouldn't be. When I was in high school, a little over 40 years ago, you can add up the math and find out how old I am, maybe. What we would do is, I was in a state school for the deaf and the blind in Arizona, and I wrestled sighted opponents. And we would do what was called a touch tie-up. In other words, he had his palms down, and I had mine down, but I touched his hands, and then we were told to wrestle by the referee. The bottom line here is not just going around in circles. The bottom line was he wanted to pin me and I wanted to pin him. First match I lost in 39 seconds. Guy was up to my chest and he's like, did I hurt you? And I'm like, no. The devil isn't that easy. He doesn't want a takedown. He wants a pin. Big time. He wants to pin you and me. He wants to do anything he can do to destroy the witness that we have for Christ. And you know what he uses? I'm going to get a little bit political here, but I have to. Division of races. Class. Division in the church in general. Those divisions, as I said, try to destroy our witness for God. We cannot let that happen. And I'll tell you how in a little bit. Kingdom of God living will always, always, always defeat the devil every time.
Amen.
Every time. I don't know what that is. Read your Bible. Your Bible talks to you and me about how to live for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's not just Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm digressing again. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was a song that Carol and I listened to the other day by Keith Green. He was out in the 70s. He did a lot of Christian music, gospel music. And he was kind of portraying the Lord, and God said, I want more than your Sunday and Wednesday nights. If you can't come to me every day, don't bother coming at all. Ouch. Ouch. God doesn't want sideline Christians. God doesn't want bench warmers. God doesn't want people that like, well, I give such and such for an offering, not going to rank us in eternity. Oh, you gave so much? Okay, here you go. You go up. Oh, you only gave so much? No, you go to the lower level. That's not the way it works. If Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, can't we give him something?
Amen.
This fight is spiritual. It is spiritual. It's against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness. These guys, these demons, these minions are not out here for playtime. They're out here to try to conquer us. They're out here to try to tell us, you can't do it. He uses these people, and they're in, it says, heavenly places, but when I looked it up, it said supernatural sphere. Okay, whoa, that's technical. But I'd rather say that than heavenly places, because God is in heaven. That is his throne. And nobody, I mean nobody, gets that throne. Now, we combat these minions, these demons, not by going to them ourselves. I just learned recently, I'm siding off here again, I do that sometimes. I'm pursuing a Master of Theology degree with emphasis in counseling. It's my second master's, not that it matters. But the point I'm trying to make is that the person said, you do not pray directly to the demon. You pray to Jesus to come against that demon. That's how you do it. Jesus defeats the demon. You and I don't. I mean, look at Acts where the sons of Sceva went up and said, well, we tell you by Jesus and Paul to come out of so-and-so. Well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Yikes. They were overpowered because they tried to do it on their own. We do not do it on our own. We do it through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing short of that. I don't wrestle these forces. You don't wrestle these forces. Jesus did and still does and will continue to do so until he comes again.
Amen.
You know, someone's going to tell you, oh, there's a lot of other people better than yourself. The same person might say, well, you tried to do such and such before and you couldn't do it. You blew it. Or they could say, you have a disability. God can't use you. You know how many times I heard that when I first started out in the ministry? I'd rather not count. There was a person when I was going to do a revival when I was in seminary. We don't have ramps and rails. Now, what? I don't need a ramp or a rail. My disability is visual. I'm not lame. I'm not crippled. That's a lie from the straight from hell itself. You are worth something to God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. God is going to use us where we're planted if, now listen, if we will let Him. If we will let Him. The next time somebody comes up to you and says, you can't do blah, blah, blah. Really? And when did you talk to God about that? When did God tell you that I couldn't do whatever? Your God isn't the same as mine. My God made the universe. I don't know what yours made. My God thinks I'm special. He knows I'm special. I'm not any better than anybody else, but He knows, He says I'm special. Carol's got this. I hate to keep digressing, but oh well. She's got this shirt we bought over in Western Washington before we moved over here. I kid you not, this shirt said, I'm God's mess. Hey, God cleans up messes. We make messes. He cleans up messes.
Yes, He does.
Let me rephrase that. The devil makes messes. God cleans up messes. He wants us to put on the full armor of God. And by so doing, we must never... I won't hit the pulpit, Bruce, don't worry. We must never, never retreat.
Amen.
You know what Winston Churchill said before in World War II? He said, never, never give up. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Winston, I borrowed your line and made it better. We must never, never retreat. We take up the full armor of God.
Yes.
It's crucial. Right. It's daily. It's hourly. It's every minute by minute. We've got to pray on the armor.
Yes.
Well, maybe if I pray it on Sunday, it'll keep me the whole week. I don't think so. Does the devil fight us one day a week? I don't think so. Only if you're complacent, he won't. If you want to sleep in the light, so to speak, I've borrowed another Keith Green lyric. We have to take up the full armor. And I know that brothers Ben and Brother Enoch will do this. But we need to have the full armor. We've got to have the helmet. We have to have the shield. We have to have the breastplate, the belt, the sword, and the shoes. When you came here tonight, and I'm not going to get gross or graphic, but you knew that you had to put, you knew that you had to dress totally, right?
Yeah.
You knew that you couldn't come without shoes.
Yeah.
You knew that, you know, the ladies, they had to have the hair just right.
Yeah.
Guys, had to have your shirts tucked in, right? Right. The same holds true for the armor. It has to cover us completely.
Yes.
Totally. Oh, I'll just pray on the belt today, not the helmet. No. You know where Satan hits us first? The mind. The mind. When people repent, their mind is changed.
Yes. Yes.
comes from a Greek word meaning turning around, changing your mind, changing your attitude. But we don't do it. I don't do it. God does it. So, with that kind of thinking going on, having the whole armor of God, I'm going to go political here again. We need to take back the territory that Satan stole from us, from God. We've got to take back broken homes and lives. We've got to take back divisions in the church. We've got to man breaches against the races. We've got to, it has to be done with the armor of God being prayed on by minute by minute.
Yes.
The world can't do it, guys. Only Jesus can do it.
Amen.
I don't know how else to say this, but you know, some white people, you know, they haven't let go of the fact that our other African American brothers and sisters they still have this idea that they're not as good as we are. That's not true. Everybody is equal in the kingdom of God. The ground at the cross is level. Just because I'm a different color than somebody else doesn't make me any better. If they know the Lord, we're the same. We are the same. I got to tell you, I wish we white people could sing as well as our African American brothers and sisters. I wish we could preach as well as they preach. I'm serious. Some of you, I don't know how many of you do know, but Brother Ransom Daniels, I met him in 1977, and he was a pastor in California. I think somebody's watch is stuck or something like that. Better take it to a mechanic or something. Anyway, just put it in your pocket or something, okay? Waiting. Okay. All right. So.
Anything bad made to come out, hold up.
I'm
so sorry. I don't know why it's doing this. It's on mute, and it won't let me turn it off either.
It
might.
You might have to.
So she's probably
going to
have to edit this part.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I knew it was.
All right, so now I lost my train of thought. Anyway, Brother Daniels and I got together, and I'll tell you what, if there was a way to get his sermons, I wish we could get them, because that man, and what he used to say, he had to put on the brakes. We didn't want him to. He went for it. was going way over here and way over to the right and doing this and that and the other. And you knew what he was doing. You knew what he was really getting into it because God was inspiring him.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Amen.
We need Christians of all races to be inspired.
Amen.
And how do we do that? We have to resist continually. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm. Now you say, well, you've already talked about that. I've heard that if you repeat something three times, we get it.
Amen.
We get it. How do we do it? James 4, 7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, notice I didn't leave out submit therefore to God. We cannot resist the devil without submitting to God. Can't do it. Try it sometime. Then tell me what happens in your life afterwards.
It don't work.
1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be on the alert. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I want to tell you something about that verse. The devil is like, notice he said like, a roaring lion. He prowls around acting like a lion. The real lion is Jesus, the Lion of Judah.
Amen.
That's the real lion. Satan better look out. Because when Jesus roars, you listen. E.F. Hutton doesn't have anything on Jesus.
Amen.
When he speaks, you listen. It's a battle. It's not playtime. It's not, look at how great I am, how many master's degrees I have, how many titles I have in front of my name. My word, I used to read guys that have MDs, THDs, LLD. What the heck does that mean? God knows and he isn't impressed. He's not impressed. I want you to listen to something. I'm going to read a song. I don't want you to sing it, although you'll be tempted to. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never, never wanting there. We have to wear the armor. Depend upon God when he calls. This is what this means. Don't be lacking in anything or sleeping spiritually. Oh, well, I'll pray tomorrow. My baseball game is more important. Sorry, Carol. She loves baseball. That's not a slight to her. It's just every once in a while, you know, we need to alter our prayer time so that we don't forget it. Don't let Satan lawless into complacency and say this church is alive and well when you've got people saying you can't do this, you can't do that. God knows better.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't do this because I'm not a fill in the blank. But so-and-so has more degrees. Blank. So what? As I said earlier, you and I are special in God's sight. We are special in God's sight. How do we get through this darkness, this spiritual darkness? We depend upon God.
Yes.
We stand against the methods of the enemy and never, never retreat. You and I need to go back to our churches and let them know these principles. Some churches, they don't mind singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," but they have no idea what that means. They sang "Amazing Grace," but they have no idea how amazing it is. They sing "He Lives, He Lives," but they're dead. We are called to live these principles. Just because I stand here and say these things doesn't mean I don't have spots and warts. But I'm called, as well as all of you are called, to live the gospel.
Yes.
And that's praying on the armor every day. In case you don't know it, God has made us more than conquerors.
Amen.
Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can be more than conquerors, much more. That's the Greek part of it. We are much more than conquerors. I think the English translation doesn't do it justice. We can be overcomers in Christ. Not just, well, I've succeeded today. We can be overcomers. That ought to make you say, glory to God.
Amen.
That ought to make you say, thank you, Jesus. That ought to make you say, I am excited about that.
Yes.
How can you be an overcomer and go to sleep in church? How can you and I be overcomers and, oh, well, that was a nice sermon. I'll go on my week and my merry way and see what happens.
Help us.
Really?
Help us, Jesus.
Jesus was born of a virgin.
Yes.
He lived a sinless life.
Uh-huh. Yes.
He endured abuse from the spiritual leaders, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
At least they thought they were. He shed His blood on the cross for our sins. It wasn't a little sanded off cross they made nice and smooth for Him. I am of the belief that it had splinters. I am of the belief that the wood was not sanded. It was not finished. It wasn't shellacked or varnished to make it look nice. It wasn't. Jesus died and was buried, and yet He rose again.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Know the end of the story. That's how the darkness was pierced. Jesus died, conquered the grave, death, and hell. You hear that, devil? He conquered hell. The debt was paid. But the work isn't done yet. It is not done yet. He wants us, with His help, to pierce the darkness. He wants us, as I said, to take back all these things the devil thinks are his. He wants us to declare freedom to those who are in bondage, to habits, to addictions, to whatever. Are you free in Christ? Jesus said, if the Son sets you or makes you free, you will be free indeed. That's it. That's right. Are you in bondage? Do you have a habit or addiction or something, or do you know someone that has a habit or an addiction that you can pray about with them? Jesus can make them free.
Amen.
He can make them free. Pray on the armor of God and go up against the devil with the help of Jesus. And I don't think this is wrong here. You plead the blood of Jesus over that person constantly. That's not a Baptist thing. It's not a charismatic thing. It's a Bible thing. We plead the blood over Jesus, over all these people that we know and maybe we don't know. You may sit there in church and hear about it. Don't wait to pray about it. Pray right then.
Amen.
Pray right then. Doesn't say pray without ceasing when you feel like it. Hello. Pray without ceasing, continually. That's how spiritual darkness is taken care of. Is by having the armor of God and doing what God wants us to do day after day after day after day until He calls you home. And then you definitely will see your fathers, your mothers, your brothers, all of them in eternity, those who know the Lord. I never, never assume that everyone is a Christian. Never. Even in a conference like this. Yes, we know about Jesus. We hear about Jesus. But we need to know Jesus. We need to have not a Sunday Christianity, a 7 day a week, 365 day, 24 hour Christianity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, the one who died to save you, the one who died on the cross and rose again to give you that eternal life, He doesn't break His promises. He never has and He never will. You can have that promise. Come to anyone who knows Jesus fervently, and they can lead you to Him. They can point scriptures out to you that are verifying what I'm saying. I would not preach to you something that was not biblical. I wouldn't be up here if I were. We want everyone to be out of bondage. We want everything that Satan thinks is his taken back. And the only way that that can be done is through a continual guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of others. Right. Let's pray, please. Why? Lord, tonight there have been a lot of distractions, a lot of hindrances, and we know why. But You have conquered the death. You have conquered death and the grave and hell, and You are alive. Amen. We thank You for that, Lord. We praise You for being able to be here tonight. We praise You and thank You for being able to sing Your word, to hear Your word, to speak Your word. Lord, may You be glorified. We do pray that if we do know people who are in spiritual bondage, that You would right now loose those chains from their lives. And that way, there can be less darkness to pierce because You've done it. Help us to be Your vehicles, Your instruments, Your witnesses. Thank You, Lord, for working in our lives. Thank You for the message that You've given to us tonight. If anyone doesn't know You, Lord, we pray that even tonight they would not leave this meeting room without knowing You. Not about You, but knowing You as personal Savior. Help myself or someone else talk to them about knowing You. And then we could celebrate tonight another person coming into Your kingdom. We know that the angels rejoice when one person repents and comes into Your kingdom. Yes. Praise You, Lord. Direct us, help us, Help this not be an end, but help this just to be the beginning of more spiritual victories in you this whole week. We do praise you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Oh, thank you so much, John. That was great. Okay, on Monday night, we have after-service hymn sing, and are we going to take a five-minute break, or are we just going to... Sunday night, we're going to go right into hymn sing, or take a five-minute break for those who feel they need to leave, or... Okay, so we will close out this part of the service. Those who feel you need to go may do so. Yes, Renee. Renee has an announcement. When Renee is done with her announcement, we will close this aspect of the service, take a five-minute break, and we will have Sunday night hymn singing.